Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. We cannot be more adamant about the idea that we are not just going state to state now. We got to get as many people down there into DC that are going to make a difference, that are going to fight for us, that are constitutional conservatives that believe in this country and our greatness and want to take it back from, I believe, true evil, anti-American, globalist takeover that only we the people can stop and fight and turn it around. And a great man is here today, Mike Cargill. He is running, and I am excited to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Hey, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I know that I had seen you speak on Ann's show, and I thought, I have to have him on. We need more of you. We need people to, regardless of what is in their personal life, they have to realize that this country belongs to them. And taking personal responsibility for this nation might not mean that everyone can run, but everyone can do something, and everyone can find people that are running to support from all over this country to kind of get people in there that actually care about we the people, and you are one of those people. So if you could tell my audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into kind of why you're running and what you see as the most important priorities we need to take back.
Sure. Well, I'm a conservative Christian filmmaker and had to jump into this race because nobody else was running. The Republican Party had no blueprint for this area. And this is a wonderful area. I'm running just east of Los Angeles in the Inland Empire, which spans from Pomona to Fontana and down to Eastvale. And if anyone's flown into the Ontario International Airport, that's the center of my district. I think it's the greatest district in California. I've got the best drag strip. I've got a NASCAR track, 4 mega churches, and 2 of the best gun ranges you'll find. This is not a liberal bastion, as people tend to think it is. I think it's a very conservative area. We love our area, and I'm going to fight for it.
Yeah, and we need it. I lived in LA area, West Hollywood, for 20 years, so I've been up there a lot, and I love California, and it's been heartbreaking to watch what's going on there. But what people don't realize is that there is a lot of red in California, and a lot of these elections are selections. And only we, by getting involved, can make a difference. Now, you live in a red area, but again, it is a California and New York are the prototypes of the globalist, I believe, infiltration and takeover, and it's been going on for 20 years. So what first and foremost did you see that you said, you know what, if nobody else is stepping up, I'm going to, because there's very specific things going on in California, but like I believe, being both from New York and living in California, a lot of the stuff that happens there is really meant to seep into the interior, and we're seeing it one thing after another. So what was it that you said? You went to your wife and your family and you said, you know what, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. And a lot of people don't, because of how ugly politics has become, which it was never meant to be that. So What was that moment that you said, you know what, I'm going to do it, I have to?
Well, it really was out of frustration, because I wanted to bring my skill set to bear with someone who was running against her. I know how to do commercials. I knew how to do all that stuff. And nobody would step up. Nobody. And finally, my wife said, well, I guess you're going to have to do it. So the two of us have been on this journey. And what I didn't realize was just how evil my opponent is. Her name is Norma Torres. She's the only member of Congress from Central America. And she is from Guatemala. And that's the key. Everything you've seen happen with child trafficking, the border open, refugees, children being separated from parents, you'll see the country Guatemala stamped on all of that. Norma Torres is the reason. I believe she has been involved in trafficking. I believe she's been working with MS-13. And we could do a whole show just on connecting the dots to her. But I am the one race in the country that can definitively say, when I am elected, thousands and thousands of children will be saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's, we've had on a couple of whistleblowers. I've been doing shows about it even back when I was in LA and in the same industry that you were in, did I see and start speaking out about this in particular. But there's also a big problem in your area of child labor and of basically slave labor, and it's getting worse. So what have you seen since Joe Biden went into office and kind of, you know, invited everyone in with the UN and everyone, what in your area is specifically being affected that maybe you saw and I saw, but now everyone can see it? Because that's really important that we keep reiterating. It's not left or right, Republican and Democrat. It's actually humanitarian and right and wrong. And so let's talk a little bit about what's happened because of this woman specifically. And we know all the allegiances that go back to home and all of that, what's happening down there with the cartels. What are you seeing in your area that is really gone over the line of covert, that it's right in your face?
Well, if the name Tara Rodas means anything,
she's been on the show a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tara was at the intake facility that's in my district. The Fairplex at Pomona is about 2 miles from my house. And the lady who I'm talking about, the representative Norma Torres, can actually see it from her house. She, with Javier Becerra, the secretary of HHS, established that intake facility, and then she monitored it. And Tara will tell you, they probably flowed about $1 billion through there, but she saw almost 10,000 kids. And I've talked to Tara many times, and a lot of those kids, almost half those kids, were from Guatemala. Right. And an area of Guatemala called Barrias. Guess where Representative Norma Torres is from? Barrias, Guatemala. And so on top of that, she picked a fight with the worst person to pick a fight on planet Earth right now, a guy named President Nayib Bukele of El Salvador.
Oh, yeah, that guy's, he's trying. I'll tell you what, he's got to have really good protection. He has a lot to say that people should be listening to. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, he is, I think, in my opinion, probably the greatest leader on the world stage right now. And he is just taking it to MS-13, the cartels. But here's the thing. Norma Torres is working with George Soros to try and undermine his administration. And his administration has publicly spoken into my race, so much so that Norma had to call the State Department. And I'm told I'm on a CIA watch list. Because of this, she is trying to undermine the greatest friend we have in Central America. So who does that tell you she's fighting for? Well, she's fighting for MS-13. She's fighting for the cartels. That's who our representative from this area is supporting. She has to go, and I'm the guy to do it. I think I'm also the blueprint for the future of California, but because of this race, and because of President Bukele, we've had people like Pedro Rivera, renowned Mexican folk singer, actually wrote 2 songs about me.
Wow.
Because the Latino community cares deeply.
Oh, yeah.
Not only about this child trafficking and human trafficking, but they care about, you know, their religion. They care about women being protected from men in the locker rooms and the bathrooms. They want to have a gun in the house to protect, because they know firsthand the evil that's come across our border. We don't. We're oblivious. Our government's just allowing it. But these people escaped a particular evil they know is coming here now.
Yeah, I get a lot of people I get a lot of emails from people that came here legally and built lives here that are have had enough, because they're being disproportionately affected, because a lot of times they have to. One of the big things we talk about here, which is really important to understand, is that especially with the children, but with the people, not only are they, do they not speak English at all, but a lot of them are illiterate even in their own languages or never had any formal education at all. A lot of the people they're sending not only are from the prisons, but are the most impoverished of people. And in some of these nations, mainly because of where the IMF and others allocate their money, it is only the wealthy and that even get educated at all. So we are having a huge influx of uneducated, illiterate, workers that then get put into the, scarily enough, the slave labor. And you also have farms up there and a lot of stuff going on in that region where that's becoming a bigger and bigger issue. Now, are you seeing the influx? Because I know that Pomona Center was big with the children. What is happening to your schools there? Are you seeing a real difference in the schools? Because what I'm told, at least in New York, where we just moved from, they were demanding, of course, George Soros behind it and the UN NGOs and all of that, that children be put into K through 12 schools at the age that they is equivalent to the grade. And some of these children not only have never had one class in math or science or anything like that, they also not only do they not know English, but they really aren't educated or somewhat illiterate in whatever language they're in. Do you see it affecting the school district where you are?
Well, it affects, yes, it affects all the school districts out here. But this is another reason why I think my race is the most important in the country, because there's another issue. And you touched on this just a little while earlier. California is the test grounds for all kinds of evil, whether it's election integrity or parental notification and parental rights. They test drive everything here. And when then they feel like it's a success, then they'll roll it out across the country.
Right.
That's why you see the same thing happening in Texas and Tennessee and Georgia. You saw here a couple years ago. So this district is also ground zero. We have a school district, the Chino Valley Unified School District. They stood up and told them, look, our teachers are not going to be secret keepers. Right. If a child discusses transitioning, they will tell their parents. They have 3 days to notify their parents. Well, they got sued by the state of California. Said, no, parents don't have a right to know what's going on with their children and their sexuality. The constitutional right of the child eclipses all that.
Yeah.
So we're now in court. It's a superior court here in San Bernardino. If they're successful, let me tell you what's really happening here. Because the transgender thing is being used as a tool to develop something far more heinous. And that's this issue of taking children from their houses. So right. This is happening, and they just passed a bill in Sacramento that said if your child says, look, I'm transitioning and I don't feel like my home is safe, my parents might not like this, then you don't have to go home. We will take you from your home and we'll put you in with Child Protective Services and our foster care program, and we will keep you safe. Now, what they're not saying is when those kids enter those programs, they are going to be trafficked. They're going to be fully transitioned and they're going to be trafficked. But what the state really is after here, and this is what the rest of the country needs to pay particular attention to, is they're after a legislative and an administrative tool that will allow them to say, if the home is deemed unsafe, we can remove the child.
Yep.
And it's all about characterizing the home as being unsafe. And once they've accomplished this, then they're going to redefine what unsafe means. Well, are there guns in the home? That's unsafe. Now we can remove the children. Are there unvaccinated in the home? Yes, it's unsafe. We can now remove the children. Are there racists in the home? Well, it's unsafe. We can remove the children. And so they're going to have the greatest tool to use against families for noncompliance. If you don't do what we say, we designate you as unsafe, and we will take your children.
Yeah, and what a lot of people don't really realize, because they have hidden history so much and they stopped teaching it long ago, is that this is not new, going after the children. It's happened in every dictatorship and totalitarian regime. You know, we definitely, everyone saw it, that is awake and knows about it, with Mao. Hitler went after Hitler's youth hard, Bolshevik Revolution, but all the way back in time. And the scary part about what you're saying is, I don't know how many Democrat Socialists of America are embedded in your local community, or if you even know, but this is a movement very similar, I'm sorry, folks, but to the German Workers' Party, otherwise known as the Nazi Party, where socialism in this sense means that there's no private property at all, that everyone, all property belongs to the state. And removing God also includes that, because all allegiance and faith is supposed to be vested in the state. And the thing with what you're talking about with the children is part of that whole model, which is that children are not property, basically, that children are born as wards of the state to make their own decisions. And that goes along with the no private property in their manifesto. It's included children. So, you know, it's funny. We look back now to Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. She meant it, and she meant it about kids. And also the other scary part too, Mike, is people don't know enough to realize they're not just going to transition these kids and all of that. Who do people think the Eichmanns of this wave of totalitarianism will be? The people that will have no conscience, kicking in doors and taking people from their homes and violating human rights and civil rights, and which human rights are given by God, inalienable rights, but civil rights, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. It's going to be people that these children that were taken, God was removed, the family was removed, all distinctions, their self-esteem, self-worth, totally reworked to be about serving the state. Next thing you know, you have a whole bunch of people following orders that are evil and don't even have the capacity to get that, which is the most dangerous part. I think the whole LGBTQ plus thing and the 60,000 people they're putting into schools through this regime as counselors, Planned Parenthood in every school. This is all about taking these children and training them to be that, to be the people that enforce this totalitarian dystopia that they're plotting with the Agenda 2030. Now, do you see in your area a lot of that global sustainable development goals? Because I know California is all in on it and the Agenda 2030, because none of this is American and it usurps American sovereignty. So are you seeing a uptick in smart city technology and contracts with these globalist type UNESCO? Where is that falling in your area?
Well, it's that sort of stuff is really being centered more towards Los Angeles. It hasn't. So we're about 40 minutes outside.
Right.
So my district spans actually three counties. I've got LA, San Bernardino, and Riverside. We've right. got two wow. good sheriffs. Got a good sheriff in Riverside and a good sheriff in San Bernardino. We lost Alex Villanueva in LA. Let me tell you how important what this area is. So California as a whole, in the last election, 40% of the votes, the entire state's votes, 40% of them came from Los Angeles.
Like
that's
New York.
The impact right. Los Angeles has. And it is a homeless industrial complex.
Yes.
That's it. This is the chief moneymaker in LA County. Is they're building homes for homeless. How are they going to be homeless at that point? Well, they have to import more homeless for all of the homes that they're building for them. And this is either coming from the border, but we have I talked to Alex Villanueva a couple of weeks ago. We have nearly half the nation's homeless here in California now.
Yeah.
And that's by design.
Yeah, I left LA because not just because of that. I left also because it was heartbreaking to go from, you and I were both in the film business. When you go from the extreme wealth to the extreme poverty in a matter of miles, and then their solution is what you're talking about, building these tiny homes or worse, tents and all of that. There is no way out for that. That is not. And I really broke a lot of news early on, way before the show, about Thrive New York City, which was a program very similar. They have one in LA and in LA County, too. I believe all of California. And it's a racket. I'll tell you, $850 million that were taken from the taxpayers for homeless and mentally ill, 4% of that actually went to people that were suffering at all. And everything else went to salaries and contracts of NGOs and grants and this money that went in circles. And, you know, you couldn't really see on the back end. And de Blasio had like 20 NGOs that he was putting the money out. And when I started looking at the salaries of the people running those NGOs, it was obvious there was no money left to do that, or they were building like you're talking about. So that's a major thing. So when you look at what you would be doing upon winning in DC, I think we got a big problem there. It's the best part about somebody like you is all of it is already done in California. A lot of the stuff that we're seeing in this nation, New York too, but California more, because of the stronghold of the globalist elites that kind of ran, you know, Feinstein was one, obviously Newsom, Pelosi, all these people in LA, the top dogs that really run Hollywood and the industries out there. They're all in on this, and obviously Silicon Valley. But the big problem here is money and the money that has gotten into politics. And what I realize about DC, especially, is that I don't think our politicians in DC have much power. I honestly believe the power is vested in the lobbyist that spends the most money on the politician. The NGOs, a lot of them, Open Society, other human rights campaigns, a lot of different ones, Arabella Partners, that then finance a lot of this stuff. And then the think tanks that then write all the bills and then pretend that the whatever representative they own is doing that. So we have a huge problem with corruption and influence from outside. And I believe that we, the people of the United States, when it comes to DC, have zero say or even consideration at that point. So do you see a problem both in your race and in nationally with how the model is set up with the financial side of even getting into a primary is very difficult because of the money that comes in to manipulate it?
Well, let's back it off a little bit. Now, we just saw something very important happen in the House of Representatives. We had a Lone Ranger stand up and say, this is not working. And if I had been there, I would have been shoulder to shoulder with Matt Gaetz. The one thing we cannot allow right now is the gavel of power to come back to California. We have to start divesting California of this stranglehold it has on politics. And you mentioned a couple other epicenters, Hollywood being one, Silicon Valley being another. We have to start pulling the reins out of California. I love California, but its leadership is so corrupt. We need to start divesting it of power. That starts with the speaker's gavel. But then we need to look hard at where we're going to center the power and who's going to make the decisions for the country now. We got to quit spending money where we don't have it, like Ukraine. You know, everything that we just saw this past week should have shown so many people what's really going on. Not only was it a pass-through for money, but is a pass-through for arms and munitions. We're giving it to Nazis, the Azov battalions. And who's the number one enemy of the Nazis? Well, that's Israel. So why wouldn't they be arming Hamas and Hezbollah and these other organizations with weapons of the United States on top of the $90 billion worth of weapons and equipment and arms we left in Afghanistan? Where do you think the Taliban's going to give them? But to the enemies of Israel.
Right.
So here we are. We're financing both sides of a war that should never have existed.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing. Friends with a bunch of people that are very high up in the military, retired, most of them, because, you know, since they started purging real patriots during Clinton, honestly, forward, certainly on steroids during Obama, we have a lot of patriots that are retired military that clearly see what's going on. Not enough, I don't think, speak up, but I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. So for you, what is happening? What I saw, I toured with a lot of and spoke with a lot of candidates all over. I think the primary is very, very important. They really, I don't believe left and right, Republican, Democrat really functions in any way that people were led to believe. I believe there's a uniparty that's fully controlled. But either way, the way that they've set it up now is you have to pick a side to even be involved in the primary. So what I saw when I was going around in 2018, 2020, and 2022 with different candidates is there's a big problem on the GOP side and RNC side. And I don't want people to think that, you know, all of this corruption is one side or the other. I look at them both as giant conglomerates that kind of benefit from the status quo. As long as we're fighting each other and they're raising money, they kind of go down that path. But I saw a lot of good people that Ronna McDaniel and Win Red were not supporting, get knocked out of the race, that deserved to at least have had a voice. And it seemed to me that during the primary season, they were on going wild to get rid of anyone. And I think that that totally undermines what they pretend to be fighting for, because you should show the people all the options. And they, this Win Red model, which I cannot tell you how much their text messaging terror campaign, which is what I think it is. They're guilting people, and it's nonstop, and they're pretending that they're texting and they're Jim Jordan and they're not. There's something very wrong with Win Red, but I have to say they picked the winner and losers, and people have to understand how the money works on the GOP side. So what have you found? Because good America First candidates were denied funding by them for one reason and one reason only, because they were fighting and bucking the status quo on the right. So I want people to understand that it's not all the left. They have their own problems. And a lot of people that do want to change things for the better do run on the left and never are seen or heard. But that happens on our side, too. Correct?
Oh, more than you even realize. I ran for chairman of the California Republican Party back in March just to see firsthand how bad it is. And folks, it's bad. It's very bad. It was a very good thing to have Kevin McCarthy removed from the speaker, because he is the one that is really holding the reins of California Republican politics. So what you have today is the distinction of having the most conservative candidate on the West Coast, if not the country, on your show today. I'm the only one in the country who has actually been unendorsed twice by the Republican Party for being too conservative.
Wow. Well, that is something that I think is a badge of honor, especially in California. And people forget that McCarthy is from California. And there is no way to climb the swamp ladder in California to national politics without playing their game. And that's why somebody like you can break the cycle. And we have to do that in every state. And we have to remember, Win Red or the GOP or Ronna McDaniel picking and choosing winners and losers on our side, and we continue to lose, is, in my opinion, by design. I really do believe that they are working together to keep the status quo going, as long as we think that there's sides. I hate it when I see people, even, you know, it happens on both sides, but that Jean-Pierre, whatever name is, and Hakeem Jeffries, like all these people, you know, when they're like, the Republicans, da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. They both sides right now are not doing anything for the American people, but you know, it's okay. You can point fingers at them. I agree. So we have to also talk about that. So your opponent is a Soros choice, obviously a UN UNESCO open borders cartel, you know, somebody that they all endorse for obvious reasons. That means that she has way more money than you or anyone else in the area, which should not be choosing. And these are multinational globalists that are backing her. They have nothing to do with America. They don't care about America. And frankly, I keep saying to people, it's not America that these globalists are trying to destroy. It's the world. But America's in the way. And people like you are willing to stand in that way. So is it better at this point? This is what I'm telling people. If you find a candidate that you like, support them directly. because when WinRed sends an email and says that they're supporting you, and then later on they say, well, we're not endorsing that guy or whatever, that's later on. So do you find that the best way for people to support people like you that are grassroots candidates that actually are not involved in the status quo, that it's to come directly to you and your website? Is that what you encourage? Because I feel like we have to, we have our vote, our time, and our money. People have to know their money has to matter. And so tell a little bit about how to do that and what that looks like for people.
Absolutely. Thank you for that too, because a lot of people think if they give to the party, it's naturally going to flow to all the candidates, and nothing could be further from the truth. In California, right, we've got about five, maybe six people that are actually going to get money from the party. And I can say this definitively, every candidate that is financed by the California GOP has bent the knee to the transgender agenda. Every single one of them. Don't doubt me here. So a candidate like me can get zero support from the party. It's going right. to have to be grassroots. Don't respond to emails. Go straight. If you see the candidate and you think they're resonating with your values, you said it. Go straight to their website. My website, CargyleForCongress.com. You can even just put in my name, MikeCargyle.com. It'll take you there. That's the only place where you can safely donate, and people aren't going to take a big chunk of it. Yeah. Or, you know, they have fundraisers for these folks that are taking 80% of your donation. 20% makes it to the candidate. That's it.
I didn't know that before I started getting involved in 2018. And I'll tell you, it is really, really despicable. There's a lot of these consultants. The whole running for office at all from the very beginning is a shocking situation, because the swamp is not just in DC, it's in every state as well. But these consultants that come in and they have to do this and you have to do that. I mean, it's just much better. This is why I also think somebody with business experience and background like you have is really key too. We have to vet everyone. And I ask everyone to, you know, really look at who's running and be very, very supportive during the primary season. Because what I've noticed too, Mike, and I don't know if this is happening or has happened to you, is that they have all these different things about numbers of signatures, or this is what happened with the Newsom recall, I believe. I believe that they actually should have recalled him and could have, but they came up with all these loopholes to why they couldn't or shouldn't, or why they knocked out. So something that they do against people like you to keep your voice, they just don't want your voice heard, is what I believe. Because once you start asking serious questions about real issues and bring the facts and truth, now you're ruining the status quo that they used to fundraise off of. But now they do a lot of things. So have you seen any of that sabotage? And people have to understand, I'm talking about a team you think you're on, the right, the GOP, the RNC. You stop being on a team. You have to be an individual thing for yourself. Are you seeing that kind of stuff where they say that these signatures don't count? They won't look at them for the votes, but during the primary, and certainly as you're going up, they have all these little kind of obstacles. Is that what's happening once you get in the race, is you're constantly being hit with different ways to kind of knock you out?
Oh, yes, yes. One of my counties tried to keep me off the ballot last cycle by invalidating, because we have to have a certain amount of signatures to get on the ballot, just to get on the ballot. And then you have to pay a bunch of money to do that. But if they can invalidate your signatures, I can tell you this, the Republican Party is the reason Gavin Newsom is the governor right now. Larry Elder should have been the governor.
I wish.
But the Republican Party kneecapped him. I won't go into all the details.
I saw it.
But this uniparty you're talking about is the reason Gavin Newsom is the current governor and destroying the Golden State. Every facet of this state has been targeted by him to collapse. People don't understand that this Green New Deal started years ago in California when Donald Trump was president. So the whole country was enjoying the Trump presidency, stock markets up, everybody's just having a party, except one place in the country was almost bankrupt, and that was California, because they'd already implemented aspects of the Green New Deal. We had We had historic wildfire. We had collapsing electrical grid. We had all this stuff, which should have heralded to the rest of the country, hang on, what's going on in California? But they were having so much fun, they just neglected it. The only thing that saved California was COVID, because the federal money that flowed in here kept the state afloat until they could build the homeless industrial complex.
Right.
Welcome to the rest of the country if they succeed here.
Yeah, and we see it happening. And what's terrifying about that and with the COVID too is California, we have two people that are running a lot of the billions and billions of dollars that were put into the fraudulent infrastructure deal, which was the Green New Deal. And that is John Podesta. And the other guy running the climate czar is John Kerry, both billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they are using California. They have for the last 20 years, I can say honestly, because I'll tell you what else. You and I both spent time in Hollywood. I saw the BLM, CRT, diversity, equity, inclusion, explode in Hollywood in meetings and on sets in 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. 2005. That was when also, you know, people like you and I went to film school. I started as a PA, working 100 hours a week, you know, just doing whatever, worked my way to where I had to. And there was a period of time early in the 2000s when I saw it happen, and then it spread to the country, which happens a lot with Hollywood as well, is people were not getting jobs anymore that had won Emmys and Oscars and had worked for 20 years. And the person that was getting a job took some kind of fast track, you know, GLAAD backed program to be a director. And, you know, I saw people getting turned, you went to the Christian realm. I was still in the regular trying to fight that battle. And you'd go into a meetings about a script you wrote, and they'd be like, well, can you change this character to be this color? And this one should be gay or transgender. And you're thinking, but what does that matter? Like, I remember thinking, Right. Okay, people don't watch a movie and think, are they gay? Are they straight? When it has nothing to do with the character, you know? And it was just like this slow burn. And that's also when I saw what was happening with kids. It was more in your face in Hollywood with the sexualization, not just of actors and actresses and all that, but the younger and younger people and just what was happening in there. So you were in that realm too. Did you see that that change in that world as well, as early as I did? Because a lot of this came out of California and was already way past when America started seeing the LGBTQ and the Black Lives Matter and all this. I had already seen it 10 years before.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw in the early 2000s, I was in production meetings, and the amount of money that was flowing in from China,
right,
already,
exactly,
to the studios and to the, you know, the different production companies was beyond alarming already.
Yeah.
And then to the social aspect of what you just mentioned, I was an actor way back before I jumped behind the camera and stuff.
Right.
And I remember in the early 2000s going on an audition for Star Trek. And I was nice to the casting director, and he called my agent. My agent said, what did you say to that guy? I said, I don't know. I was just nice to him. He said, well, they said you were teasing them and you'll never work on that show again because you're not gay.
Yeah.
And then we all knew Disney as the gay mafia way back from when.
Well, Mike Ovitz lost his career over calling it out, even though, you know, he's in it.
He was
not in the gay mafia, but you and I remember when he wrote that, when that article came out.
Yeah.
It was like an earthquake. And I also saw it, you know, when they built, I call it the Death Star. I don't say them by name because they are still too powerful. But when they built the Death Star in Century City, I felt like this something really dramatically changed in that whole business.
Right.
And it all went from overt to covert, from covert to overt. And you and I were both there. But that seeped into society. And that must have, as it did on me, which is part of the reason I do this, was now with what you're doing now going into politics, that had to have really, because you saw it. It was a plan. None of this is organic.
Yeah, no. Back in 2013, 14, I had a sitcom we were pitching that I had developed. And my agent said, this is funny, but you can't be a writer on it because you're a white guy and we're dealing with a cast of Black characters. the only way we move forward is to get some Black writers on this.
Right.
Because they're not going to allow you as a WASPy white guy to write this.
I know. I know. I know many people this happened to. I had a guy who has won 2 Oscars. I was on the set. I was on the lot at Paramount, and I see him, and he's recognizable, and he's yelling at his agent probably on the phone, being like, "I'm never going to work again. Is this where we're headed? That I'm not getting done." And I knew what he was talking about. And that is really, but it was also the subversion, because a lot of true artists and talent weren't willing to do that, and lost their careers and their jobs. And then it was especially white men. And that did happen in Hollywood. And it was real. If you were a straight white man, I don't care what you did. I know 2 guys who had shows on for years. They haven't really worked. And then you bring up the other thing, which was all of California, was the infiltration of the CCP. And that really happened in Hollywood. And I had friends that your age, my age, were probably the same age, that had made movies. They could not get
early funding. 20s, right?
Yeah, they could not get funding for their films. So then the deal was, and this was through some of our studios, if you go film it in China, then we'll finance it. Well, guess what happened when they got to China and they had their crew, some of their crew, because it had to be a lot of Chinese people. They had CCP members on the set watching them. They had to do this and that. I had one friend who took a whole movie there and everything and left. They shut down the whole production. They're like, it's not worth it. They lost a lot of money. They were like, so what I did learn, though, is that the CCP has taken a lot of money out of not just Hollywood, but out of California in general, which is probably making a big difference. People don't understand. And that a lot of that happened during COVID. But how is California functioning financially? Is the COVID money must be almost gone, and they lost their it looks like they lost their CCP funding. What's the financial situation?
Well, no, that's why they had to develop the homeless industrial complex for all the money that comes in behind that, not just the construction, but you mentioned it earlier, all the NGOs, all of the do-good organizations that are here. They're making so much money, and it's all federal dollars. You're paying for it out of Texas and Tennessee and Kentucky. You're absolutely keeping California afloat. But here's even a more insidious side of what you were just talking about with Hollywood, because I've been on the phone with donors out of like Georgia.
Right.
And they're talking about how bad Georgia's gotten, Fulton County. Right. We saw it with the special election. And I said, it's because of the tax incentives you guys gave to all these Hollywood producers. So they bring all the Disney shows, all the Marvel movies, everything, and they changed your whole political landscape there.
Right. And it's happening to Austin.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's happening to Austin.
Yeah, same thing in Austin.
They're doing it in Nashville. I mean, there's a lot of people like us that want to still make movies and shows and TV shows and write and all that that are good and what we went into it for back in and when we were, you know, just thinking, well, someday I'm going to make great movies that change the world and open eyes and have good, you know, messages and all that. And that got erased to be all this crap, woke propaganda and all of that. But I see people fighting to change that. But as you and I both know, it's all about distribution. And again, that goes back to what we talked about earlier, even with the farming and the companies and all of this. There's a stronghold on everything. And we need to change that, because the distribution is the problem. And we have to create parallel economies, but we also have to create a parallel distribution cycle for all entertainment, for everything. So it's a lot of work to do. But you are doing that on that front too. You are fighting that. And that, honestly, that has a lot to do with a lot of this, which is changing culture and society and taking it back for God and for the purposes it was meant for. Now, when you get elected and you go to DC, what are the first 3 things you'd like to tackle? And are there committees that you would like to be on? What are those goals? So let's say you won and now you're going to DC, and here's what you're going to tackle first.
Well, I think one of the first things we have to look at is election integrity. I think everything that we're seeing right now is the result of a fraudulent election.
Yeah.
And there are 2 pieces of federal legislation that deal directly with that. One's called HAVA, Help America Vote Act, and the NVRA, National Voter Registration Act. That have literally, the way California reads those is these are suggestions,
right?
But it doesn't necessarily mean we have to purge our rolls. And even when you have the Los Angeles loses a lawsuit and they remove 1.5 million mystery voters, let's just be kind. But what happens, people don't understand, in California, it doesn't flow from the county up, it flows from the state down. So the next election, even though LA may have removed 1.5 million voters,
right,
Sacramento didn't acknowledge that. And 1.5 million voters, because of the COVID regulations now that were put into legislation, those 1.5 million are still going to get their ballots at the graveside.
Right.
And they're going to get them in the places where you've got 20 people registered at a florist shop.
Right.
They have it rigged. And so federally, though, we can fix it. People don't understand that Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution, and the guy, the lady who really understood this is Nancy Pelosi, because H.R. 1, she was trying to federalize California election law. So it shows you that the Congress has the power, and it says specifically in the Constitution that elections are conducted by state legislatures, but the Congress has the power to regulate those. So at the congressional level, yes, you have to have voter ID. Yes, it has to be on a single day, not 2 months. An election season is not going to fly. You know, only citizens can do this. You know, things like that, common sense things. The Congress can do it if we had the right leadership in place to say, before we do anything, the cornerstone of our republic is a fair election.
Right.
And we got to make sure that happens. Otherwise, we're not a government of we the people anymore. Right.
Yeah,
and you said that. So yeah, that the kids and this the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal has one purpose, and that's to collapse the U.S. economy. That's the only purpose it exists. Look at what they're doing here: the war on gas stoves, the war on gasoline in your car. We want to put everything on an electric grid that cannot sustain what it currently has,
and so can be shut off.
It will collapse.
Right.
It will collapse. You will have no means of transporting yourself or your family further than where you can ride on your bicycle.
I mean, it's so scary and crazy. I'm so grateful that you're running and you know, you still do a lot of other things to help also culture kind of heal and go back to God as well. I suggest that, I don't care where you are in this country, everyone that I am having on that is running is a candidate for America and we the people, and they need support directly. I am one person that will say, please, please go to the website if you would like to support Mike Cargile to go to DC and help us and bring this country back to where it's sane again and it's good for our now, and that we can have a future that matters and not lose this nation. Please directly support these candidates. They are up against globalist billion-dollar corporations that want to control you and your country. You need to get the people in there that won't allow that, like Mike Cargile. Can you tell my audience again how to find you, how to support you? And then I hope that as this goes forward, you come back and give us updates, because I want people this time to really see good people running for office can succeed, but not if good people that have time, money, and effort and energy to help this country don't support them regularly and through the whole ride, because it is a constant struggle with our own party to keep in good people. So please tell everyone how to follow you, where to find you, and how to donate. And again, it's all hands on deck. Don't just worry about your state. We need everyone, as many people, America first, make America great again, that love God and country in DC as soon as possible. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, and again, that's very, very key there, because I do talk to a lot of people and they go, well, I'm in Tennessee. Right. I can't. I go, No. I'm running for House of Representatives.
Right, exactly.
It's a federal office. Everything we do will touch you in Tennessee and Kentucky and Florida. It's a federal office. So if you live in the United States, you're in my district.
Exactly.
Let's just say that.
We have to think that way. We have to think that way.
Right.
Like, put your money where it matters.
Yes, because anything I vote on to protect the Second Amendment is going to protect you in Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia and Florida.
Right.
It all is connected at the House of Representatives.
Right on.
So we have to have people who understand that shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed.
Exactly.
In any way, shape, or form. So we need voices like mine there desperately.
Great.
And I need your support desperately because, like you said, we're up against these monolithic George Soros type entities, and they're going to pour lots and lots of money into guaranteeing that there's a flood of children and forced labor available to them and their insidious activities. So Cargile for Congress. That's CARGILEFOR. Cargile for Congress. I have the cheesiest catchphrase in the country.
I love it.
When I speak, I tell people, smile, it's Cargile. And they laugh.
I like it. Smile, it's Cargile. I will be smiling at the day that you are down there in D.C. and helping to turn this country around. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you again. Good luck. Keep fighting. And God is on your side. So nothing can stop you now. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Everyone's been asking me what I've been doing because I am in better shape than I've been probably maybe in my life. And I am now thriving and I have so much energy. I'm going around, I'm doing all these tours and I'm doing the show and I'm showing up at small events and big events. And I'll tell you the one thing that's definitely changed my life is superfoods. Mel Kay superfoods. When I got involved with superfoods in the beginning, I was not eating right. I was not sleeping right. I was not, it was mid-COVID, so I wasn't really doing much and I was doing a lot of things wrong. And then I found superfoods and it has changed me from the inside out. Not only have I dropped weight, which wasn't even the goal, I really wanted to detox. I wanted to help my immune system. I wanted to make sure I didn't get sick while a lot of other people were. And superfoods came into my life and changed everything. I now think about what I'm eating. I don't have cravings. I don't eat late night. There's a whole protocol. It's so easy. It's laid out for you. You take it out of the box. It's there. All your food's taken care of, all your nutrients, all your energy, all your protein. It is an amazing way to change your life from the inside out. Superfoods changes everything. It gives you a protocol. It gives you a schedule. You know what to do. You know what you're eating. You feel great. You look great. Your life's getting better. And the one thing I know is you can go to themelkayshow.com, go down to superfoods, and you can start your journey. Because today is the day. I will tell you, I waited, and then I started superfoods, and within 3 months, my entire life changed for the better, more than I could have imagined. MelKayShow.com, go to partners page, down to superfoods, and click on the link, and you will find a whole new world that will change your mind, change your body, change your life. So when you get superfoods, that helps me and helps this show keep going. I cannot tell you how much it's changed my life for the better, and it will yours too. And enjoy the rest of the show. Mel Kay Superfoods. Get over there now. There's no time like the present.